start last week with the sefer. This oitzah machmadim. Oitzah machmadim. I have chelik dalit. He has a chapter on Pesach. So I was browsing through this chapter. I want to run through some of the ideas he presents. Some are more interesting than others. Let's quickly run through some interesting yediyos relating to Pesach. First thing is Chodesh Nisan. Let's need to go back. We need to go back another chapter. Topic: Chayiv Adam L'Taher Atzmai Beregel. This is sugya. Is a person mechuyev to go to mikvah before the Shalosh Regalim? Okay, many of us never heard of such a thing, right? It's enough to go to mikvah erev Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there's a chiyuv to go to Yom Kippur. Why do you go to mikvah? Why do you go to mikvah? You go to mikvah really for two reasons. You go to mikvah for tahara, and you go to mikvah to teshuva. If a person rachman l'slan did an avera, the svir avera, you're supposed to go to mikvah, even if you want 100% tahar. You're living on a desert island. There are no animals. There are no dead bodies. There's no way you can contract tumah whatsoever. So the person does an avera. In Shulchan Aruch, he's supposed to going to mikvah is part of the process of teshuva. When we go to mikvah erev Yom Kippur, we're going as a part of teshuva. We're supposed to dunk three times. Keneged chatasi, avisi, poshati. About teshuva, is supposed to go to mikvah. But then there's another reason why you go to mikvah, for tahara, purity. Now, Bizman has said, we're all tummy mace, so there's no purpose to going to mikvah for tahara, so you need the paraduma water, so there's no purpose. Okay, then there's another reason going to mikvah for tfilas keri, tfilas ezra, einachanami. That's another form of tahara. But Bizman shebeis hamigdash hoyekayim, when there's a mitzvah aliyah l'regel, and there's a mitzvah le'ro'ois es p'nei Hashem elokeach. Now, by the way, let me take a step back. Do you make a bracha when you go to mikvah? Does a man make it when a woman goes to mikvah? That's a deraisa. A woman has to go to mikvah to make tar from me to nida. A nida not needs to go to mikvah, so therefore she makes a bracha. No question about it. When a man goes to mikvah erev Yom Kippur, teshuva, does he make a bracha? It's not so simple. Okay, we don't do it. You never saw it being done, but it's not really so simple why you should not make a bracha.
So if he swallows the water, then he makes a bracha.
It's not so simple why we don't make a bracha. Maybe it's because we don't really do it. We're not serious about doing teshuva. Kobi, that's why we're not serious, because we're really supposed to make a bracha. When you go to mikvah for a legitimate reason, you're supposed to make a bracha. And you go to do the teshuva, you're supposed to make a bracha. Why? I don't know. We don't make a bracha for whatever reason. Okay, going to mikvah for tefillas keri, certainly don't make a bracha. I don't know why not. Why not? It's a takon of Ezra. So why shouldn't there be? Maybe they were mavatil. Is that the reason why? Because they were mavatil it. And you see, when they were sacking, you're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to say Kriya Shema. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name unless you go to mikvah after for Tfilas Ezra. Maybe at that point in time, you made a bracha. They saw it was too difficult for the tzibur to abide by this, so they were mavatil. So l'chayr, once they were mavatil it, that's why we don't make a bracha, even those that are machmir to do it, so you don't make a bracha. But there is a halacha that when you bizman shabes hamnisha yakayim, the pasuk in the pasuk that says, v'hizhartem es b'nei Yisrael mitumosam, to warn the Jewish people from their contamination, which is applied in the Gemara. It's the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah. I read the Gemara Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Rosh Hashanah, and after Zaynam Abeis, Chayav Adam letaher es atzmai baregel shenemar uvinivlasim lo sigahu. Now the Gemara makes an elaborate drasha. What does that pasuk have to do with regel? Tanya na mihachi uvinivlasim lo sigahu. Read the little words of the Gemara. Yachol yisrael musar malamagin avela tamloimar. The pasuk can't be just teaching you not to touch an avela. And more la kohanim b'nei Aharon. The pasuk only warns kohanim not to come in contact with tumah when they do the avoda. B'nei Aharon mushadim. B'nei yisrael loy mushadim. V'haloi dvarim kal v'chomer. V'ma tuma chamuda koyhanim mushadim Yisraelim enim mushadim tuma kalo loy kol shechein. Gemara explains, Ela ma tam loy ma, we have an extra pasik uvinivlosim lo sigahu. So Rabbi Yitzchak in Masechta Rosh Hashanah takes this pasik out of context and makes an elaborate drasha that chayiv adam letaher atzmei beregel, that when you go in the Sholosh Regalim Hashanah, when you go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring your carbon oil asriya, you must go mitoyvel in the mikvah. And in fact, the Rambam paskins lahalacha, this kol Yisrael musharin lihiyos tohoirim b'chol regel, Okay, so this is the Rambam, in fact, paskins like Rabbi Yitzchak. The big question is, does this apply today? Because the Pashto says this only applies bisman shebeis hamikdash hayakayam, when you could bring a carbon, and when there was the water of the Parah Aduma, which would work together with going to mikvah to make sure that you tar. But bisman has said that we have no Parah Aduma water, so anyway, there's no possibility to be tar from the Tumas Meis, and we're not anyway bringing Korbanos, we're anyway not going to the Beis HaMikdash. So Bizman Hazeh, the Pasuk that the Gemara Rabbi Yitzchak Darshins, is does no application whatsoever, and there's no chiv to go to Mikvah at all on Yom Tov. Problem is, Rabbi Yitzchak lived, we know for a fact, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So what is he telling us this for? If he himself lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is he telling us Hilchos HaMashicha? Maybe. That's not so far-fetched to say. But some want to just darsh in the fact that he's telling us this, and he lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and this halach applies afilu bizman hazeh. And indeed, I don't remember all the details, so he does cite some opinions that it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Ad kedei kach, that to go on the mikvah, Erev Yom Tov, can be done even with a bracha. Do you believe that? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah sivanu al atzila. Halacha l'maisa, we don't do that. We don't pass like that, without question. But the bottom line here, after reading through, I don't remember really very much.
It's not required,
very
cool. But can you do it?
There's a question, is there anything, if there's no reason to do it, then why bother all day? Some people, they go to mikvah every Friday. Very nice. Some people go to mikvah every single day. People have different minhagim, what they like to do for tar. But let's talk halacha. Let's talk practical halacha, what you mechuyif to. You mechuyif to daven 3 times a day. You mechuyif to put on tefillin once a day. You mechuyif to observe Shabbos. Are you mechuyif to go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur? I'm not sure you are. I don't know what the bottom line is, but everyone does. Either doing it midin minhag, or they're doing it midin chiyah, because Yom Kippur you go midin teshuvah. And what about going before Yom Tov? Is that a chiyah? Is that a minim? Or is that like going on Erev Shabbos? It's a lightweight minog. It's not so simple. After everything is said and done, I can't remember, there's a Rambam, there's a Shabbos Aryeh, there's a Prima Gaudium. Everyone here has an opinion on this matter, and basically the consensus is it falls in within a category called Zecher L'Mikdash. It's a different category of halacha. This halacha, what do we have? We have zecher, like in karech. Kilo. When you eat karech, right? Zecher on the mikdash. There are other examples. I don't know what they are. I don't remember what they are. But there is a category in halacha called zecher lemikdash, which is significant. Going to mikvah, erev, the shalosh regalim, and erev Rosh Hashanah is in that category. Some hold it borders on a deraisa. Some of the mizmanas, it's not the raisa, it's only midrabanan, it's not midrabanan, it's a minog, but it's in a category by itself called zecher l'mikdash, which is more than your ordinary, average
minog. Like a glass on top
of that zecher l'mikdash? I don't know. I don't think, no. Because that zecher l'mikdash, that's a drisha, that's an Indian of remembering the korban. That's a different type of zecher l'mikdash.
Exactly.
This is because bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakaya, according to most rishonim, it was a mitzvah de'oraisa to go to mikvah erev Yom Tov. And when you went to the mikvah, you would make a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvah sivanu ala tzvila. It was a mitzvah de'oraisa. Today there is no mikdash, there are no korbanos, there's no issue, so we're not going to mikvah. But not everyone, just because you don't have a beis hamikdash, doesn't take away from you the requirement of going to mikvah. I mean, retire yourself the best that you possibly can. So if we do continue to do this bizman hazeh, it's a zecher to exactly what was done bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. Do people go to mikvah? Look, puk chazi ma amadva. What is the common minhag? The common minhag is, I think some people who don't go every Erev Shabbos, there are definitely a category of people who do go for Yom Tov. There's no question. And the proof is the signs on the mikvahs. We have different price range. Every day you may chol $1. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Tov, They always, if you look at it, go into a mikvah, you'll always see on today everything's electronic. All the new mikvahs, they have cards, and they have an electronic system. So they do the electronic system. The place that I'm used to going to, they have a sign on the door that has the price range for the weekday, Erev Shabbos, and a special price for Erev Yom Tov. The fact that such a sign does exist indicates there's a category of people who come Bedavka, Erev Yom Tov. Where does that come from? It comes from a makar. It comes from the Rabbi Yitzchak, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, which is the subject of discussion from the Rambam, the Prima God, Meshavis Aryeh, and a whole long list of other Achronim, which are mefaltel. Is it a Daraisa? Is it a Darabonon? Bizman? Shem Shreikayam? Bizman Azeh? What does it mean for us? Bizman Azeh? But the bottom one we take out of this is that yes, there is such an inyan, Bizman Hazeh, in the category of what was done, Bizman Shabbos, Hamidosh Shayakayan. It's unique, it's called Zecher LeMikdash, similar to Korech. Zecher LeMikdash Ki Hillel, Kach Osa Hillel, Bizman Shabbos, Hamidosh Shayakayan, Koyu Korech, Pesach Matzum, Rav Yochel, Biyachel, Kayam Ashneva Matzum, Rav Yochlu. So you see that we're doing something today. Ki'ilu, this is what we did. Bizman Shabbos Hamidosh Hayakayim. Zecher LeMikdash. This is another example. It's not a trivial thing. You're not going to find anyone that's going to tell you that going to mikveh Erev Shabbos is Zecher LeMikdash. No way. Challenge you to find me a sefer on the laws of Shabbos that say it's a kvalim thing to cover Shabbos, tahara, v'chulu, v'chulu. Those two words, no way. You're not going to find it. But you will find that in the literature describing going to mikveh Erev Pesach, because it's a pasuk in the Torah from Yitzchak of.
If you want to base the mikveh to bring the carbon, did you have to go to the mikveh before you brought the carbon?
Yes, you had to. It seems like you had to, even if you were tahor. That's what it seems like. Let's say you have no reason to suspect that you're tahor, but it seems from the way the mafarshim learning is that it doesn't matter. Even if you have no reason to suspect that you may have come into contact with tumah, you have to go to mikvah. It's a gzeres hakasef. Gzeres hakasef.
Is it cheaper on Yom Tov than on Shabbos?
More expensive. More expensive.
Do you get points that you could apply towards an airline or something?
No, not where I go.
No, but if you go
now,
separately.
In America here, it's not a big deal, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's a very big deal. It's a very common thing in Eretz Yisrael. Very common by a lot of people you would never expect go to mikvah. Regularly, you'll be shocked to learn they go to mikvah very regularly. And they have very sophisticated electronic systems of how to pay. It's very interesting.
Video cameras.
And they have also the mikvos there are gorgeous. They're stunning. They're sparkling clean. You know, Beis Shemesh.
They use chlorine.
I guess it depends where. Okay, Beis Shemesh. Unbelievable what it looks like. You think they're in Eretz Yisrael, you know, not so clean. No, they're way ahead of us. Way ahead of us. Some places. What? I was never in Landau. What's nice? Turnstiles.
It's like going into the subway with the bars. It's exactly like the bars in the subway.
Have a Metro card?
It was $1. I remember when it went up to $2, but I don't know what it is now.
Maybe a little bit.
Weinfeld has also the system. I heard at Frankel's, the new Frankel's, $3 million building. I heard it's stunning.
I was never there.
I don't know.
I went on the east side.
Frankel's is 21st INJ. 21st INJ. Well, Weinfeld's is a very nice mikvah. Weinfeld, and they have, I go over there. Rabbi Schmidman, they have a small mikvah. Rabbi Schmidman's mikvah. It's also very nice. Okay, let's go further. Next topic is the reading of the Nisim. Someone mentioned this. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we read, there is a minig among Nusach Sfar, you don't see it among the Ashkenaz, is to read every single day after davening, to take out a Sefer Torah, and to read the Parsha of the Nisim. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the inauguration of the Mishkan, and from that day and on, each one of the Nisim brought a carbon. We lay in this Chanukah of 8, and then we go to the very, very end. So there's a minig to take out, in some kehillas, to take out a Sefer Torah and to lay in the parsha of the Nesim. At first, I just want to bring some ideas. There's a very shocking Beis Yosef.
Right.
And the Beis Yosef says something that is mamish keneged what it says in the Gemara. The only place this minig of the Nesim is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, and it's in Masechta Sofer. The Beis Yosef seems to learn that there's a machlokes between the Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, and from the Goinim, Masech, the Seferim, when was the first day that the Nesim began to bring their Korbanos. From the Gemara Tzmashma, day one. Aleph Nisan is the Nasi of, who's the Nasi on the first day? Yehuda? I don't remember.
Yehuda,
the first day. According to the way the Beis Yosef understands Masech, the Sfarim, no. It was the second day. The first day Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, v'zehu, that was it. There were no korbanos. The Nesim began day 2 through day 13. Sfeika d'yoma. So what are you laying? Do you laying on day Rosh Chodesh Nisan Yehuda? And who's next? Who's say day 2?
Shimon
is day two. Or no, you first start with Yehuda on the second day, the base Yosef. Paskins that you wait until day 2.
You say
Yisachar. It's not the minhag. Okay, that's not the minhag. The minhag olam is not to follow the base Yosef. The minhag olam is to follow what it says simply in the Gemara. Is that the first day we lain? It's beferish the we start Yehuda, but something just to be aware of. Something to be aware of, which is very fascinating. The Beis Yosef, he says something which is not in the Gemara. Okay, now the next thing over here is you lain also on day. Let's say like the Gemara 1 through 12. What about day 13? So there's a minute to lain Parshas Bahaloyscha. Bahaloyscha is Haneris, the Mulpin and Rayir, and you lain the entire Parsh of the Menorah. Why would you lain that on day 13? That corresponds to Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was not one of the Nesiim. They did not bring. So it's not fair they should be left out. So Mela, they get day 13. It's not like Hanukkah. You lain Bahaloy all the way to the very, very end, the last day of Hanukkah. Day 12, you finish with the last Nasi. Day 13, they tzemach different minhagim. Some do, some don't. Day 13 is Levi. Levi gets his day from the Parashas Bahaloyscha until the end of the Menorah. And what about day 1? Day 1, someone said, Pumfakar. Day 1, do you lain before the Parasha of the Nisim, the Parasha of Birchas Koyhanim? So some have a minhag that on day 1, before you begin the first Nasi, you first lain the parasha of Birchas Koyhan, which really is a tribute to Levi, Sheva Levi. So Levi is getting the beginning, and Levi is getting his own day at the end. Now, do you lain this from the Chumash? Yeah, you lain this from yourself. There's a minhag, controversial minhag, to take out a Sefer Torah from the Heichel after davening is over and to read. Why is that controversial? Because once you take out a Sefer Torah and you read from the Sefer Torah Bitzibor, you should be required to make a bracha. And indeed, it's maybe a shock. I think there are opinions that say you do make a bracha. You're taking out the Sefer Torah, so make the bracha before you learn the Sefer. No one does that.
Bracha, or you have to have 3 aliyahs.
No, I don't know. No one does, so I don't know. I don't know.
Does anyone do
now, this is something that's very nice. This is something new to me. I appreciate this safety. A lot of this stuff is very basic. Whatever I'm telling you over here, you know, it's very basic. But this is something that's very new to me. This is why I like every safety. There's always Ein Beis Medrash V'Lo Chiddush. You'll go to the same exact topic in a different safety. You'll always find something new. And he quotes you something very interesting from the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav was of the opinion that this halacha that you don't just like this idea. You don't just take out a Sefer Torah from the Heichel to lay whatever you want. It's not a free for all. That's why there's a very big controversy when it comes to Parsha Zohar to lay for women or women's in all the shuls. It's not an issue. They do it. They take it out. They try to have 10 men, so you should be laying when there are 10 men present. So it should be Dovah Shem Kedusha. They don't make a bracha. But in the more yeshiva oilam, very right wing crowds, they don't do it. They don't do it. They don't like Rapam was very against it.
Not.
I heard Rapam himself. He said Gibshe was very against it because Monav Shach.
For Bar Mitzvah boys, sometimes they let him practice.
It's also problematic. In the Chanami, it's not so simple.
You see the print of the actual Torah.
That's also. In the Chanami, it's done all the time. It's done all the time. But it's not so simple. I agree with you. Like same way all the shuls say we take out a Sefer Torah.
Checking it for mistakes.
You take out a Sefer Torah. You take out a Sefer Torah, and you, and maybe Bar Mitzvah is right, it's more lenient because there it's more of learning, so it could be more reason to be Megal. However, some are very upset. You just don't take out a Sefer Torah from the Hegel to Tlay. Now, the problem here is that there are Rizal, we know for a fact, it's brought in all Sfarim, there are reasons, it's brought in other Sfarim, is that Shnayim Mikrov Yecha Targum, we do find that it was the Minuk to read Shnayim Mikrov from a Sefer Torah. They would go to Shul, they report that their Rizal would take out a Sefer Torah from the Aron HaKodesh, even the Gro also, I don't know, and would read Shnayim Mikrov Yecha Targum. There's a Targum, someone he would read the Shnayim Mikrov, and someone would help him with the Targum.
Well, Al-Pak. Tomorrow they used to learn from a Sefer Torah, that's what they didn't have it.
So he writes here, this is what I found to be very interesting. Okay, this little deal is the Satmar Rav. I'll read you what he writes here. The Satmar Rav in his Chuvis, he wrote Chuvis also, I'm not aware of this. The Chuvis, Diva Yoyal, okay, the Shud Diva Yoyal. I know he says be inyan tildul sefer Torah oides hanasi ein kepeda. The ein the tildul sefer Torah me'abes hamedrash lechutz. The ach the tildul hasefer Torah me'abes hamedrash lechutz. Oy, I feel me'abes lebayis. Ika kepeda. The kepeda to take a sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh. Many Litvaks are very makbid, is ungrounded. It's only when you take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron to take to outside, to another shul, or to go mibayis lebayis.
Right.
But to take it out of the Aron, in the shul itself, and to put it down on the bima, that's what it's for!
Right.
That's what the bima is made for the individual. Lav dafka for the tzibur, to lein be barabim, there's no issue whatsoever. But also Beis Hamedrash Shemunach Sham Ba'aroin Ein Kepei. These are his words. Shaharei Bishvil Kachunach Sham Ba'aroin. That's why the Sefer is in the Aroin. Lilmoid V'Likros Mimenu V'Lol Sheyihu Munach Ba'aroin. Well, you lock it up in the Aron HaKodesh and leave it there. No one should have access to it. That's what it's there for. It's there in the Aron for any individual to take it out in the Beis HaKnesses itself, put it on the bima, and to learn from it.
Yeah, but maybe that's, in other words, the problem with Parsha Zocha, perhaps, is that to say that you
make a mitzvah
of Parsha Zocha the way you're supposed to do it, that could be problematic.
Okay, so therefore, that's why it's very common in many shul. It's a little bit of controversial. They take it out, it's not proper, you're late. But many nusach svar, they take it out when davening's over. One thing he points out, and many places he brings this out, is that this one thing is not a good thing to do. Is that some shuls will lane from the parsha, and let's say Monday, Thursday, will lane, and then in order not to take it out a second time, will be goylel to the parsha of the Nesiim,
right.
And then lane the parsha of the Nesiim before we do Hagavah Gleil and put it back. So that is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, that's
that is wrong. Because that Yimam has been Mishana the Tzur of Kriya Sator, that is something that is unacceptable. Okay, next topic, quick topic, this is a very interesting topic. We touched upon the Sugya of Roitza Bikiyumai. It's a big Sugya, and it's Sugya all the pizza stores. It's a very, very big Shaila. The way he presents the Shaila here is a person goes to a Rebbe, a Chashan Rebbe, and the Rebbes, they have 12 chalas. It feels like it's very common. The Rebbe, they make Lecha Mishnah, not just on two chalas. The Lecha Mishnah, the word Mishnah, I don't know, somehow it turns into 12. They have 12 chalas, and they give out the chalas to Chassidim. And it's a segula. It's viewed by these people to be a very big segula to have in your possession a piece or a chala from the Rebbe. And what do you do with it? You put it in a plastic bag. And obviously it turns hard, but you put it away in the house as a segula. Now it's Pesach. It's chametz. Chametz gomer. What are you going to do with it? Sell to a guy. Are you really allowed to sell it to a guy? Something which you are preserving, chametz, that you are preserving as a segula, or let's say he gives another example. He writes here that the Shaila came to the pre-chodesh. The person had a kernel of wheat that an artist etched the entire pasuk, Eretz Chita Usa'ira, Eretz Zeshem Nidvash, and he wrote it with the Nekudos, a kernel of wheat. But the kernel of wheat got wet. So the kernel of wheat got wet, there's a chash of chametz. But it was artwork. And I'm sure they have artwork today, chametz sticker artwork.
Yeah.
And it can be very valuable. And you want to sell it to a guy. The problem is, You want it after Pesach. You're selling it, but you roitze b'kiyumai. If you have chametz, if you have cereal in your house, cereal, box cereal, Cheerios, and you want to sell to the guy, wouldn't you be happier if the guy would come and say, "No, I want your half box of Cheerios. Here's $5. I'll take the Cheerios for myself." You'd be thrilled. I can convert my Cheerios into $5. I can go buy a fresh box of Cheerios after Pesach is over. No, in the meantime, no one's coming to give me $5 for half a box of Cheerios. So I'll leave it on the shelf. I'll close the closet door and I'll sell it to the guy. Do I really care about the Cheerios? Couldn't care less. I'll be very happy to exchange the Cheerios into cash. What? There's no din roitze b'kinyan. Let me tell you, the Ikar Halach roitze b'kinyan comes from a sugya where you have a pot. Here's the case. I have a pot. Perfectly good condition. And the guy, and the Ashayla is, can I rent my pot to a guy on Pesach? So the answer is no. If you know that the guy is going to, not talking about kashrus, let's forget about kashrus. You know the guy is going to bake chametz in the pot on Pesach, you're not allowed to rent, because the guy is going to put into the pot, he's going to hot chametz, he's going to heat up the pot, and the metzias is, if you have a burning hot pot with no food inside, the pot's going to crack. That's the type of pot we're dealing with. So the Gemara says that you desperately want the goy's chametz should remain cooking or baking in that pot, whatever it is, in order that your pot should not crack. So the halacha is also, even though I don't own the chametz, it's not my chametz, but I am in a category of rotze b'kiyumai. I desperately want that chametz to remain in my pot for the duration of when my pot is on fire, so that my pot does not crack. Because if the chametz is taken out of the pot while the pot is on a hot flame, the nature is it's going to crack. So it's usur for me to rent my pots to a guy on Pesach when we're not dealing with a kashrus issue, and I'm aware that he's going to use the pots for chametz, his personal chametz, so there's no issue for me about Yirah Bal Yimotze, because of this principle in halacha called roitze b'kiyumai. I want that a certain piece of chametz should remain in existence through the duration of Pesach, for a short time of Pesach. That question is, do we take that principle and apply it to chametz that is artwork, or chametz that is a skula from a Rebbe? A Rebbe gives you a piece of chametz, I can't have it on Pesach, I'm going to sell it to the guy, but I want it. I don't want the guy to go and pay
me
for it.
Your mind is not relinquishing.
It loses its skula if you give it to the guy.
No, obviously not, it seems. Or artwork. Let's talk about pizza stores.
Huh?
A pizza store.
When you get it back.
No, it's not. It's the guy's.
Why not?
You're getting back the guy's.
So pizza store, they really have this problem. They don't want to admit the problem. Problem is, what do they do in the pizza stores? They have a lot of them or bakeries or factories. They have a very high demand the moment Pesach is over,
right,
for chametz. They have to have everything prepared. They make the pizzas someplace, or at least they make the dough, and it's frozen. And therefore, the moment Yom Tov is over, they have a head start. And within a matter of minutes, everything is ready to go. Factories do this, so this is a reality. Factories, in fact, they buy large quantities of chametz erev Pesach, or leading up to Pesach, and they prepare it to the degree where it's not going to get ruined, it's not going to become stale, and they freeze it, and then when Yom Tov and Pesach is over, they're immediately able to start the process where they left off and get it out to the consumer as soon as they can. This is a very real issue of Reitze B'Kiyumo, because these stores, they will not be happy if the guy will come to them on Pesach itself, or on Pesach we sold the chametz to the guy. So here are the keys. Oh, you know what? We're taking all of these vats.
Wait, the guy can give him the full price of what he would sell on a Matzah.
It's going to ruin your business. Very good. So what's going to happen? Very good. So the Enechnami. Very good. Why are we making pizza? So B'tzoy Shabbos, we should make money. If the guy is going to take everything off our hands, so Baruch Hashem, so we've made the profits, we've made up all the losses, we've sold out. Problem is, our next door pizza store they're going to get all the business mitzvah Shabbos.
Get the same guy.
No. And then they're going to discover, you know, pizza time has better pizza than this one. And they're not going to come back to me. Once your customer gets used to going to a different store, there's a danger.
All the kosher pizzas have the same issue with the mechiras. So
they do it, so it's not. It's a very big problem. It's not. So you should know something, that some of the better, the more the pizza stores that are under a stricter form of supervision, they will not allow this. People think, why not? What is wrong with doing this? It's this brilliant idea. You have all the pizza pies ready to go, and they're frozen, and you just have to put it into the oven right away. You can be the first one to be able to sell pizza on Shabbos. There is a halachic issue of reitza b'kiyumo. If you're getting that head start, you are not going to be happy if the guy comes to you during Pesach and buys you out. You don't want him to buy me out. I want him to be legally the owner of the chametz, so I do not violate Baal Yeroa, Baal Yeroa. What?
No.
There's no bishalakum here. There's no bishalakum. Of course not. There's no bishalakum. No. He doesn't. He's not touching it.
Yes.
So it's a judgment call. Sometimes you'll say, listen, it's a matter of convenience. They all do this. I'm telling you, the bakeries is a fact. They're not going to remit to you. You will talk to the kashrus. Go talk behind the scenes. A lot of bakeries and a lot of these type of stores, to some degree, they prepare things before Pesach and they're put away. I don't know the details. I've heard about these things. In some places, you'd be very surprised they do these things. There's a real halachic question of Reitz B'Kimo. The answer there is, listen, if the Goy Taka buys us out, don't worry, we have plenty of time. I give you like a bakery. We have plenty of time to get flour and start the process from the very beginning. It's just convenience. It's not in the category of Reitza B'Kiyumo, even a pizza store. So if the Goy Taka buys us out, so it'll take us 10 more minutes to get the pizza ready for Mitzray Yom Tov. It's a matter of convenience. This is a very important judgment call for a Mashkiach to make the determination. Listen, you're making preparations, you're putting in orders before Pesach to have large quantities of chametz, and then you're going to lechatchila sell it to the guy. Is this, and it's, you technically do nothing wrong, but is this roitza b'kiyumai, or is this convenience? And that's a judgment call. When you're dealing with
artistic work,
oh, so that's a real, so that's a big problem.
You really want it back.
That's a much more serious problem. If you have our food, artistic food, which is real chametz, it's not a problem. A lot of these things are not real chametz. The chametz nuksha. When you have that type of product, where they freeze dry, you take some product, they freeze dry. Right, it's like spaghetti. All these things is it really chametz? When you're not dealing with real chametz, that's another layer of leniency. But when you're dealing with real chametz, if you can have such a thing, the Pre-Chodesh talks in detail about this chita. A guy had a chita with it was written in teeny little letters, a whole pasuk with lakudas and schoolless. And the guy went, he didn't sell it to a guy. He told him he was going to go take the chita and bring it into the street and put it in a secret place in the bush somewhere and be mafker it. And then when Pesach is over, no one's going to find it on Pesach. He'll go and he'll retrieve it. I'm mafker it, but I'm ready to be kiyumai. I don't want it to be destroyed. What? He says it. You say
it. Somewhere, he buries it somewhere.
So you sell to a guy. So this is a very interesting topic, which, believe it or not, has these nafkaminas and something I never knew about.
Something to keep
out for. Yeah, bakery, pizza stores, things like that. Okay, we'll stop over here. I'll pick up the other.